The question I want to ask is, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? And we want to look at Romans, the 7th chapter. And, you know, it's easy to ask, what's wrong with people? Especially living in this postmodern Christian culture that we live in. It's just easy to say, what is wrong with people? How can you think that way? The problem is, the Word of God does touch on things like that, but it's primarily focused on what we've heard here this morning already. You know, let me self-examine. What's wrong with me? And that's what Romans, the 7th chapter, is engaged in. It's asking that question. And the way that we understand what's wrong with me is very clearly and simply laid out in Romans, the 7th chapter. We're going to begin reading in verse 18. It's very hard to figure out where to start. It's so encompassing. But we're going to start in verse 18. We're going to read several verses asking the question, what's wrong with me? And I want you to see the diagnosis of what is wrong with me from the great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it has to do with two conflicting laws that are inside you as a born-again child of God. Remember, this, what I'm about to describe to you, is not an issue for those that are not God's children and that are not born again. I don't know who that is, but you understand, this is not an issue for the wicked. This is not an issue for the goats, as the Word of God makes the distinction between sheep and goats. Don't ever forget, there's no transitional category between sheep and goats. There's no middle ground where somebody's in the process of leaving being a goat and becoming a sheep. There is no transitional category taught in the Word of God. There are the sheep and there are the goats. The sheep were known by the Father, chosen by Him before the foundation of the world. The sum is certain. The Lord knows the number. Otherwise, He could never have written His last will and testament unless He knew exactly who His beneficiaries were. So it's very important to understand there's no transitional category here. There's sheep and there's goats, and this applies to the sheep. Let's read in verse 18. For I know, Paul says, that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And this is not the Apostle Paul saying, well, the devil made me do it, or sin made me do it. No, he's talking about what's wrong with him. And he has sin inside of him, in his nature. Verse 21, I find then a law. Now listen to the first law. That when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. That's another law. That's the second law. Two laws. But I see another law in my members inside my body, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin and death, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am. That's the conclusion when you look at this one law of sin and death as he describes it. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Thank goodness he didn't stop right there. And I want you to ignore the chapter break that's coming up, because in the original writing, it didn't have a chapter break. He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that is, in His flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the Spirit, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. What's wrong with me? What's wrong with the Apostle Paul? You could almost picture the Apostle Paul laying there on a psychiatrist's couch and saying, you know, there's things that I do that I shouldn't do, and there's things that I don't do that I need to do. And it almost just sounds like he's just going in some kind of circular reasoning. But child of God, that is all of us. We have that circular reasoning in our mind, and we wonder, why do we do things we know we shouldn't do? And then we think, well, why don't I do more things that I know I should do? What's wrong with me? You have two conflicting laws inside of you. One is called the law of sin and death, and I'll tell you where that comes from. And the other, as a born-again child of God, is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the law of God's Son that He's written in your heart. I want you to think about two conflicting laws. I'll give you a couple examples. There was a Supreme Court ruling that occurred a few years ago in the Obergefell decision, and that is where the Supreme Court said that same-sex couples could engage in marriage, okay? That is an example of a natural law that conflicts with the law of God, you see? Because the law of God, clearly stated by Jesus himself when he was on the earth, and also from the book of Genesis, you see that marriage can only exist when it's between a male and a female, a man and a woman. So that is an example of how a law of man can conflict with the law of God. And of course, we know who wins out. God wins out every time. That's another good thing to know about these two conflicting laws. God wins out, okay? Now, there are some personal applications of that law within your own life that you have to make in order to feel the effect of that. But think about also this. There are laws in the state of Colorado that have decriminalized the use of marijuana. And in the state of Alabama, we have still, thank God, on the books that the use of marijuana is a crime. And I deal with that been dealing with it for 20 plus years as a prosecutor. Just every time we come to court, there's always a possession of marijuana case. So you see, the Alabama law that criminalizes the use of marijuana conflicts with the Colorado law. And this is a total side note, but in Oregon, I read an article about this recently. In Oregon, back in 2020, they decriminalized the use of fentanyl, heroin, cocaine, methamphetamine in one of the most liberal, strange, bizarre efforts, like an experiment on the people, if you will. And now they're recriminalizing those things because, according to one of the senators there in Oregon, who is very conservative, he says that there's about 4 Oregonians dying each day of overdose. You know, just it's increased, overdoses and deaths have increased like 500%. I tell you, that's just a law of man that just makes you go, what? It doesn't make any sense. And it conflicts with the laws of God, where we see the Lord commands us to take care of our bodies and not to damage or injure our bodies. So I hope you see the way a law of man can conflict with the law of God. A law of another state can conflict with the law of this state. And inside you, you've got that kind of conflict. And Paul describes that. So I want to break down the problem. I want you to see clearly what the problem is. And again, I like what Brother Luke said. You know, this is not a message about the person sitting next to you. This is for you. It's for me. Okay? What's wrong with me? You say, well, I know what's wrong with the person sitting next to you or the other people that I encounter. Okay? This is about what's wrong with you and with me. So let's break down the problem. Verse 18, we're going to run down through this and see the effect of the law of sin that is in all of our bodies, all of our members. He says in verse 18, for in my flesh, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, in my body, dwelleth no good thing. Now look, notice he's making the distinction between the natural self that you are in your nature. And where did you get your nature from? Well, you got your nature from your parents. You know, where did they get their nature from? They got it from their parents. And you trace it all the way back to our initial parent, who was Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And we take their nature all these centuries. That's why it's so important to believe in the creation account, because the evolution nonsense, the theory of evolution, gets around the Garden of Eden. Why do you think that is the reason they try to get around that? So there's not judgment there, see? But we live under the nature and having taken on the nature of our first parents, which is Adam and Eve. And remember what happened? They fell in the Garden of Eden. Adam sinned. And in Adam's fall, the old saying goes, in Adam's fall, we sinned all. You weren't there and you didn't do what Adam did, but you have taken on the result of what Adam did. And as I've said many times, don't say for one second, well, I wouldn't have done that. You'd have done it quicker than Adam did. And I would have too. I'd have done it quicker than you. Because I know me. So this problem is that in me, in my nature, I have nothing good within me. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. If you just sit down and rest on your human nature as a born-again child of God, you'll just be just banging your head against the wall. Why can't I do right? Why can't I get out of this rut? Why can't I move forward? That's what Paul says. He says, I'm at a loss. I don't know what to do. Verse 19, for the good that I would, I do not. And this is what happens when you listen to your human nature. And let me just pause for just a moment here and say how rare it is to hear anything about what you've heard from Brother Luke this morning about self-examination, because we're living in a society that says there's nothing wrong with you. And how rare it is to hear a message preached from the pulpit that says there is no good thing inside you. That's not politically correct, which is funny. That's a funny statement, a funny phrase. But it also goes against what you hear out there. You're okay. There's nothing wrong with you. Just do what you feel is right within your own heart, and whatever's right is relative to whatever your situation is. That's not what the Word of God teaches. Whatever is right is relative to what God's Word says. And God's Word says that there's no good thing in you. This is kind of a downer. The last part of chapter 7 is a downer. But praise be to God, we move into chapter 8. He says, the evil which I would not do, those things I do, because I'm at a loss. I don't know how to control myself. Why do I keep messing up? Verse 20, now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Again, he's not blaming sin. Well, the devil made me do it. No, he's saying what is inside me that I get from my forefather, Adam, is controlling me. And child of grace, if you don't make the distinction between these two laws and understand the warfare, the conflict that goes on in your mind and in your heart, then you will automatically, by default, just give into your human nature. See? And that's what a lot of God's children do. The most miserable people on the planet are not the wicked who are living it up. It's God's children who don't understand the distinction between these two laws. The law of sin and death and the law of life in Christ. Sin is controlling me. That's what Paul is saying. When I think about it this way, sin controls me. Verse 21, I find then a law. It's the law that sin controls me. When I would do good, evil is present with me. You and I will be subject to that law as long as we breathe air in this earth. Now, whenever we breathe, as the song we sang first this morning, the ethereal, as when we breathe eternal air, you don't have to worry about this anymore. But as long as you're breathing on this earth, you will find this law that when you would do good, evil is right there at the door. Maybe you older folks, maybe some of you still watch, younger guys watch the cartoons, but one of my favorite old cartoons, you know, was the Bugs Bunny and the other ones back in those days. And sometimes they'd have a cartoon where, you know, the character in the cartoon would be faced with a decision. You know, do I do right? Do I do wrong? And this little angel would, poof, you know, come up on his shoulder. And it looks just like him. And the little angel says, oh, you know, this is trouble for you. Don't do this. And at the same time, poof, this little devil would appear on the other shoulder of the person going, yeah, yeah, do it, do it, do it. I mean, that's silly. But it really is a good cartoonish indication of what goes on in your mind. You know, you've got the law of God written in your heart, and it says, don't do that. It's bad for you. It'll hurt you. It will bring reproach upon the name of God. And then you've got that natural self within you, and it says, go ahead. Do what you feel like. Follow your heart. That is a conflict, see? In verse 20, he says, if I do what I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin is controlling me. And then here he names the law. He says, I find then a law, when I would do good, evil is present with me. And in verse 21, this is where he introduces the law of sin and death. Now, this has been introduced before in the book of Romans, where he says, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. It's been introduced before, but here he gives you details about it, where he says, this is what it's called. When I would do good, evil is present with me. Verse 23, this law is described as the last part of the verse, the law of sin, which is in my members, in my body. If you look in chapter 8, verse 2, he says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from, and here it is, the law of sin and death. That's the law that is inside you, constantly tugging at you, constantly trying to control you. When I would do good, evil is present with me. Verse 23, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. And here he begins to introduce you into the law of God, which he describes there as the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. It's interesting that he says in verse 23, warring. You see that phrase? He says, I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. The law of my flesh wars, fights against the law of God that's written in my heart. And you say, well, I just can't see that. You just lost that battle. You say, well, I just don't see how there's that war going on. You just lost another battle when you think that way. You have to see what the Word of God teaches. By the way, the man that wrote this was one of the top, most educated men on the planet at this time. There was nobody smarter than the Apostle Paul from a natural standpoint, and then from a spiritual standpoint, this is a man who had the experience with Christ on the road to Damascus, where the Lord put his law in his heart, you see? Didn't ask permission, didn't say let me in, didn't beg and plead. He put himself in the heart of Paul and changed him. And that's when that warfare began in the heart of Paul. See, he wasn't in conflict before then. He was just doing what his nature told him to do. His nature said, go kill Christians. And that's what he did. This man is one of the top intelligent people that was on the planet at that time. So Paul says, I got a warfare going on inside me, warring against the law of my mind. Notice it says also in that verse, bringing me into captivity. The root word of captivity right there is prisoner of war. This is a war going on inside your heart. Get in the battle. Understand the fight that's going on there inside you. What's wrong with me? I've got a war going on inside of me. Part of me says, do what I feel like doing, say what I want to say, go where I want to go because it feels good to my nature. The problem with that is true. Sin does feel good to your nature. It only lasts for a little while, though. There's pleasure in sin for a season. There was a moment of pleasure, natural pleasure, in what David did. But it carried repercussions for the rest of his life. That was not pleasure that he experienced when Nathan came to him, you see? So there's pleasure in sin for a season. But when this conflict is going on inside, you have to look beyond the immediate pleasure and say, what is the impact of what I'm about to decide to do or not do? See, it's a warfare. And if you give in to that sinful nature, guess what? You were just taken as a prisoner of war in that battle. How many times are we taken as prisoners of war in this battle and we don't even know it? If you could see that, if it was played out naturally and all of a sudden, you know, I'm being cartoonish today, you know, but all of a sudden the walls of the jail cell just drop down in front of you and boom, all of a sudden you're in jail. I mean, would we ever even be able to move? If we're not in the battle, if we're not in the fight, every step we would take, it would be like the jail. All of a sudden we're in jail again. I'm a prisoner of war. But if we're in the fight and we're recognizing the difference between the two, then we can move forward. Verse 23, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Captivity means a prisoner of war. And what is Paul's conclusion in all of this mess? Paul says, oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I'm glad he asked that question. Wretched means miserable or stuck. It goes right along with being in captivity. If I don't understand what's going on with myself, I'm going to constantly be in captivity to my human flesh, my human nature. Aren't you glad that Paul asked the question, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Because a lot of times today, they'll say, well, just grit your teeth and push past your nature. But no, that's not it at all. He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You want to know how you're delivered in that battle with yourself when you recognize what's wrong with you? It's through Jesus Christ. And things begin to go on the upswing now. He says, I thank God. It's been pretty much gloom and doom up until this point, but he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, here's the conclusion, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh I serve the law of sin. You notice where that battle is going on? How many times have I said through the years, many, many years, I say, I'm not after your soul. Christ has got your soul, but I'm after your mind. I want you to see the Word of God, what teaches you about your mind and your thought process and how to bring those wicked thoughts into captivity under the obedience of Christ. Get in the fight. Get in the fight for your mind because, listen, It is impossible for Brother Luke and I to stand up here, or another preacher to stand up here for 45 minutes or 30 minutes each and think, well, with all the stuff that's coming at you on a regular basis from the TV, you know, the older ones say, well, those phones don't affect me. Yeah, but the TV's blaring all the time. Well, and then the younger ones have the phone that's constantly got information coming at you, tearing and pulling at your mind. Is it not just seem crazy to think that I could get up here at a 30-minute sermon and stem the tide of the flood that is coming at you, whatever your age may be? When I think about it that way, I'm like, I don't even know why I preach. When I think about what's coming at you every day, all the time, especially if you have one of these, or if you have the gloom and doom blaring on the TV all the time, how in the world can a 30-minute message or a 45-minute message or two 30-minute messages have any kind of impact on you? Well, part of that is the miracle of the gospel. There's no question about that. The gospel is a miracle. If you listen and you embrace and you get in the fight, well, then guess what? You very well can make it through the rest of the week combating those things and fighting those fights and keeping that away from taking your mind into captivity, see? The battle is in your mind. He says, I will listen to what God put in my mind, and I won't go with my flesh. I'll listen to the law of God, and that doesn't mean it's not in your heart. Now, the law of God is written in your heart, too, but it processes in your mind, you see. I know I shouldn't do this, but I feel pulled to do this. What do? I'm going to listen to the law of God and resist and fight against the law of my mind. So you're not a wretched person. Paul said, if I stay in that situation, I'm wretched. I'm miserable. I'm stuck. I'm in prison. But verse 1 of chapter 8, there is therefore now. You see the conclusion? There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, want to understand what he's saying there. From a legal standpoint, Christ has set you free from all of this stuff, all these things. But to experience that, you want to walk in the Spirit. Walk in what the truth of God is. Don't walk in the flesh. Otherwise, you may miss the experience of that. You see, the law of sin and death means that you're miserable and you're stuck. And it keeps you contained within the walls of sin. And there's certain things that law cannot do. Look at verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. In other words, my flesh could not accomplish this. But God sent His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. You could not do this. In your nature, you could not pay for your sins. But God sent His Son to pay for your sins in the flesh. This is why He came in the flesh, so that He would take on the nature, the fleshly nature of what we are. And yet He's without sin. And He paid for our sins. So in Him, we have that victory. Now look, I want you to think about this. This law of sin and death could not deliver us from our sins. But there's another law inside you as a born-again child of God that the Lord wrote in your heart and wrote it in your mind, not just your heart, but your mind also. And that is the law of life in Christ Jesus, where you recognize, I cannot get out of this situation, this condition, but Christ has delivered me from that condition. So there's an ongoing battle within me, fighting to control and direct my emotions and my decisions, and it's leading towards death. It says the law of sin and death. See, the wicked they're not even in this fight. See, the wicked just have that one nature, and they don't care. There's no recognition. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, and they are foolishness to him. See, the wicked, they don't have this conflict within them. See? But you do as a child of God. There's another law. Paul said, in chapter 7, verse 22, it's the law of God after the inward man. Paul said in verse 22, I delight in this law. He says it's the law of my mind, verse 23 of chapter 7. Verse 25, he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord that this law is in me. You need to thank God that you have the law of God inside you. Amen? So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. See, this is not just an intellectual experience in the mind. Think about how your thoughts affect how your heart is. You ever got a knot in your stomach? It didn't just appear. You were thinking about something that got you worked up, right? The law of God is the law of my mind. It's also the law of your heart. Chapter 8, verse 2 says, it's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Verse 3 says that this law sent the Son of God in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Look at verse 15 of chapter 8. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You have been adopted by Christ whenever he implanted and wrote this law in your heart, in your mind. There's no getting out of that. You know, the ink is written and is sealed in the blood of Christ. You have this. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You see, there's a catch to it. But understand, that catch is not an eternal catch. If you'll just kick it in, you'll have it. It's not eternal there. It is your experience here and now. You've been made free from the law of sin and death. You've been made to be spiritually minded. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Don't you want peace? To be spiritually minded is peace. Verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. You see, your fleshly nature is opposed to God. It means to be hostile. Your fleshly nature is hostile to God. Look at verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. If you have the Spirit of God in you, then you have the other nature inside you to war and combat against the fleshly nature. That's your legal standing. Verse 10 says, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. Your body of sin is dead this morning. Why don't we live that way? See? Why don't we live like our body of sin is dead and not give in to the lust of the flesh and not follow the law of our heart that tells us to sin? The law of Adam, the law of lust. See, follow the law of the Spirit of God, which is freedom. The Spirit is life because of righteousness. The righteousness of Christ has given you life. And your righteousness, as you walk in that Spirit, it gives you peace and life. I'm not saying everything's going to be wine and roses. I'm not saying everything's going to be perfect in your life. Jesus said, you shall have tribulation, but you'll have internal peace that passes all understanding as you walk along serving God. But if the Spirit, verse 11, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. The Spirit that lives within you that God has put there is the same power for resurrection one day. You understand that? That's a lot of power. Don't you wish you could kind of just click into that and all of a sudden you could do, you know, like superhero type stuff? That's not the purpose of it. Christ is the superhero. He's the man, Christ Jesus, the superhero. And we've been given a little piece of God within our hearts to follow him. The purpose of it there is not to do superhero stuff. The purpose of it is to serve him. But I tell you what, as the world looks at it, when you do things like that, it is like superhero stuff. It is amazing and miraculous. Let's look at verse 12. And here's where I conclude this morning. Therefore, brethren, sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do put to death or mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You demonstrate yourself as a son or a daughter of God when you follow the Spirit of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. It doesn't say they'll become a son of God. It means they are the children of God. The word debtor right there means one who owes, one who is indebted, one who is a delinquent and needs to pay up. If you're sitting there this morning and you say, oh, well, I like what Brother Tim has told me because there's therefore now no condemnation to me. So no matter how I live, no matter what I do, no matter what trouble I get in, no matter what bad decisions I make, you know, Brother Tim eased and comforted my heart and told me that I'm always going to be a child of God. Then you missed the point. You're always going to be a child of God because God will never unadopt any of his children. But he says clearly, we are debtors to God. We owe God.
We owe him for what he's done for us. And it's not like he's sitting up there, all right, pay up, pay up. It's not like you can pay on that eternal debt. We'll have an eternity to praise his name in perfection. And an eternity won't be long. Why do you think it's eternity? It won't be long enough. It won't endure long enough for us to pay him back in that way of praise. But right here, right now, with the law of your fleshly nature warring against the law of your spiritual nature that God has given you, you're indebted to him. That's very simple, isn't it? I owe God for what he's done for me. Now look, if I had the power, to remedy any issue that you've got right now. If I had that power, I'm sick, I need a remedy, and I could snap my fingers and boom, you're healed. Or you got some issue, you know, drama going on in your life, tragedy, death, you know. And if I had that power, and I would, if I had that power and you said, I need this, but I'd be some kind of genie in a lamp. I wouldn't give you three wishes. I'd give you every one I possibly could give you if I had that power. And I did that for you. Would you not feel indebted to me? Would you go away and say, well, that was nice. Now I'm just going to go back to my sin. I'm just going to go back and live like I want to. If I could snap my fingers and remedy any problem that you've got right now, I think you'd feel indebted to me. Well, child of grace, that's a fantasy, okay? The reality is that Christ has remedied the biggest problem you would ever have, and that is to burn in the lake of fire and pay for your sins forever. You can't get any worse than that. The tragedy you're dealing with now cannot be worse than the tragedy of dealing with your sins in the lake of fire forever. That is an unpayable price right there. And the wicked will pay it one day. But child of God, there is therefore now no condemnation to you because you are in Christ Jesus. Walk like it. Get in the fight. Recognize the two laws that are warring. I'm telling you, ultimately, the law of God is going to win out. When you breathe your last and you leave this world, your warfare in that way is over. Praise God. And you will praise him for all of eternity at that point. Why not see yourself as a debtor now to God and give him the praise that he's due now? Get in the fight. Those two things are warring against each other. One of the ways you can get in a fight, get in the fight, is to make a profession to the Lord. And if you've never joined the church of God, and say, I profess that I'm a sinner. My condemnation is been done away with because of what Christ did. And I believe that. We get that opportunity as we stand and sing.